Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live today from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. The Super Bowl was yesterday, and it featured quite a lot of divisive messages. So today we're going to try to counteract that with something unifying and uplifting, hopefully. God's work is a work of astounding miracles. It's a work of staggering, stunning achievements. And all of this is made possible by a specific type of power. Zechariah 4, verse 6 is a prophecy of this end time about God using one specific man. And look at the way God used this man. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This work is made possible by God's Holy Spirit. Like I said, this is referring to one specific man, an end time type of Zerubbabel, who was alive just several decades ago and did a powerful work for over half a century. This man, the late educator, theologian, and Worldwide Church of God founder Herbert W. Armstrong, did fulfill this prophecy. He didn't have a lot of might or power by himself physically, and yet he relied on God's Spirit, and the work prospered because of that. Now, one thing I've never done on a radio show before is play a song, but that's about to change. We have a song actually sung by my own mother, Mrs. Laura Turgeon, titled By My Spirit. So we'll go ahead and play that now and then come back. So that's a classic song, if there ever was one, by my spirit. And it's talking about Mr. Armstrong and all the prophecies that he fulfilled by God's spirit, especially there at the end of his life, like that song mentions, where he was able to pack in so much growth and so much productivity, even while he was going blind, even while he was struggling with some horrible health problems. He was a physical and a spiritual builder. He built God's work, and he made it to the point where it was reaching millions and millions of people, and he was visiting with hundreds of world leaders. You just look at the fruits of that work, and it's pretty obvious that none of that could have been done without God's help, without that power. That's reinforced in this verse, Revelation 3, verse 8. This is speaking about the Philadelphia era of God's church, the sixth out of the seven total church eras. This era of the church under Mr. Armstrong. And just notice how it describes that church era. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. So again, it's mentioned, it's not about any human being's strength. It's as if God had to keep on reminding us, don't look to a man, don't put too much emphasis on the man himself, because it's all possible by my spirit. That's something that we always have to remember. Anytime in God's work, when someone does something that is remarkable or outstanding, we know where that power and that might is really coming from. This is a work of miracles. It's a work of the divine, the supernatural. There is a spiritual element to all this. The fact that this work under Mr. Armstrong started so small on a tiny radio station, and even before that, speaking to a couple people or a dozen people or a couple dozen people at an evangelistic campaign, hand printing copies of his Plain Truth magazine to send out to a few people, and yet it grew to being a work that really did reach around the entire world. The stats back that up. Over 400 TV stations. Millions and millions of magazine subscribers. More than the subscriptions to Time and Newsweek combined. Far bigger of a TV presence than any televangelist of his lifetime. He really did reach people, and it wasn't about giving himself any credit or acclaim. He repeatedly reminded people that it was by God's Spirit that all of that was possible. So what is God's Spirit? We need to know the definition of that. This is the very engine that runs God's work. Well, Mr. Armstrong did give us a nice definition of the Holy Spirit in an article titled What is Salvation? From the November-December 1970 Tomorrow's World magazine. This is how Mr. Armstrong defined God's Holy Spirit. It is the very spirit, the very life, the very essence of God the Creator. God, according to John 4, verse 24, is a spirit, but man is mortal. Man is flesh. God is composed of spirit. Spirit is not like matter. Man is composed of matter. Matter occupies a definite amount of physical space and has weight. but God's spirit emanates from him, like the air, like space. It is force. It is power. It is life. It is character. When God's spirit, emanating from the very person of God, enters into a man, it impregnates that man with the very life of God. It plants within that man or woman the divine nature of God to develop the very character of God until we, through his spirit, become like God, until we think as God thinks, until we see things with the same attitude as God sees them, and we act as God acts. So this is power. This is God's might. This is God's way of thinking and speaking and doing things. It's the very power to enable us to become just like God, to literally become born spiritual sons of God, no longer comprised of physical flesh and blood, but actual spirit composition. This Holy Spirit is the vital link between the human mind and God himself. Without that Holy Spirit, it's just death at the end of this physical life. There's no chance at an afterlife. We see all the time in the world and society how there is such a severe mourning process after death most of the time. The recent death of basketball superstar Kobe Bryant is a prime example of that. Why are people breaking down into tears? People who never even knew him but were inspired by him. Why is everyone so sad about his death? Now, of course, tragedies are sad for a moment, but should we really be spending a week or more crying over somebody's death? Not if we had hope beyond this life. Not if we knew for a fact what would come after this. If we knew that there is another life, a spiritual life, that is far more real and far more fulfilling than this one, we wouldn't be in mourning. We wouldn't be weeping every time a tragedy like that happens to somebody. We would have hope in the future. And it would really help us to cope with any sort of tragedy that happens. The Holy Spirit makes possible eternal spiritual life. And while only a very few people today actually have access to it, all people will be able to access it, have that opportunity in the future, according to God's perfect timing, in his perfect plan. There will be a day when everyone can access this spirit, this power, this character of God that can unite our mind with his, can actually make us a part of his spiritual family. This vision is why the Trinity doctrine is such a danger. This Trinity doctrine that literally sees the Holy Spirit of God as just one of the three God beings. There's God, there's Christ, and the Holy, and then there's the Holy Spirit. The Trinity sees all of those three as living beings, when really the Holy Spirit is just God's power. We have a really nice booklet that I can link in the show notes for you. It's titled God is a Family. And that might have actually been the one doctrine of Mr. Armstrong's that people ridiculed more than any other. Even people who call themselves Christians, the majority of them believe in the Trinity. They scoff at the idea that human beings can become God. But like I said, this is the very power that moves this work forward. In fact, Christ himself, while he was on earth, said by himself he could do nothing. He had to have God living in him. Now, it wouldn't really make sense to have God, the being, the living being, literally living inside of Christ. But God's power, the Holy Spirit, was in Christ's mind. And that was the power that helped him to resist sin for 33 and a half years on this earth. That is how God dwelled in Christ. Christ had access to that Holy Spirit power, and he was able to link up with God all the time, all day, every day, through prayer, study, meditation, fasting, these valuable spiritual tools that God makes available to us. He was able to remain sinless for a lifetime because of the Holy Spirit. God is a family, and by Christ's example, we can know exactly how to enter into that family. He used that Holy Spirit, and we can use it today just like he did. Acts 2 verse 38 gives the two requirements. There's repentance and there's water baptism. That is how you can receive the Holy Spirit, this very power of God, and you can let it work in your life all the time. The Holy Spirit is typed by water. There are lots of different forms of water. Water can be non-existent. What about a drought or a fire? In environments like that, there sure isn't enough water. But other times, water can flow, or it can even gush. And that is how we want the Holy Spirit to flow and gush in our lives. We want an abundance of it, and we can renew it day by day, as 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says. But just think about the impact that this has on God's work. When thousands of Spirit-begotten members of the Philadelphia Church of God work together, fast together, pray together about open doors for God's work, think about the impact that can have. The life-changing, life-saving, work-altering impact that can have. And for all of you supporters of the work who aren't necessarily members, perhaps God is working with your mind right now and opening your mind to this truth. So maybe one day you could accept this power into your life. This power that makes this entire work possible. Doesn't that sound incredible? Doesn't that sound like the type of life you want to live? Where God can direct your every step? And you can be blessed beyond your wildest dreams for obeying God, for committing your life into his hands. Going back to that article from Mr. Armstrong from the November-December 1970 Tomorrow's World, he talked about what life is like with the Holy Spirit. He said here, by the very essence of the Holy Spirit of God, you then become a begotten child of the living Creator God. Even then, you are still human. You still have your old human nature also, and it will strive against this new nature of God, which he has now implanted within you. You're not yet perfect as God is perfect. You are now only prepared to start to live a new life of growing spiritually, of developing the very character of God, of resisting all the desires and impulses of the flesh, which your newly spirit-led mind will reveal to you are wrong and in disobedience of the laws of God. You now start a life of growing daily into closer contact with God through daily prayer to Him and through daily Bible study of His inspired revelation of knowledge and of truth, the Holy Bible. You will encounter troubles, problems, trials, and tests to try you, to develop character within you. But now you will be close to God, and you can take all of these troubles to Him in prayer, and He will give you wisdom to know what to do. He will even change circumstances to bring you out of them. He will give you strength and power for deliverance and for mastery. That's the type of power that made Christ an unbelievable success on this earth. That's the type of power that opens doors for God's work, that saves our lives. This is the type of power that really makes all the difference between God's truth, God's life, God's light, and the darkness and misery of the world. And it's a power that God is eager to give to you. If you already have it, it's a power that He wants to give you more of. If you don't have it, He wants you to have it, whether now or in the future. You can see that in Luke 11. It's showing how, as physical parents, we desperately want to give good gifts to our children. But how much more shall God the Father, the ultimate, the best Father, want to give gifts to us, like the gift of the Holy Spirit, if we ask for it, if we seek it, if we knock, if we're willing to fulfill those requirements of repentance and baptism, if we're willing to obey God, obey, totally changing from our past behavior, from the time that we walked in darkness. If we want to become a living sacrifice for God, He will embrace that, and He'll make His power available so that we can obey. It's only possible to obey God with that power. That's the whole point of the struggles of ancient Israel being recorded in the Bible. They are absolute proof that without the Holy Spirit, you cannot fulfill the entire intent of God's law. They knew God's law. They had all the advantages, the best possible heredity and environment. God was personally teaching them, and yet they still rebelled and they failed over and over and over again because they didn't have access to this power. It just shows us how helpless we are, how much help we really do need. Like Mr. Armstrong, not too long ago, not by might, not by power, but by God's Spirit. That's how the work gets done. That's how the work is going to break through to Jerusalem in a big way very soon. That's how decisions are made. That's how lives are saved. Mr. Gerald Fleury, the pastor general of the PCG, has told me in the past, if you're ever struggling with something, you just go into that prayer closet and you stay there until you're ready to come back out and face it. God provides the power. The more we connect with Him, the more we ask for help, the more of that power He will provide. And that power can drive out any obstacles, any sins that we might be dealing with if we just use it. And like I've talked about on one of my trumpet bookshelf episodes recently, this Holy Spirit does produce fruit. You can tell where the Holy Spirit is flowing. You can tell who has it. You can tell what work, what church has it. You can walk on this campus here in Edmond or on our sister campus in Edstone, England, and you'll be overwhelmed by it. Anyone who visits can tell there's something different. They don't necessarily know what that difference is, but we know. Mr. Fleury is a wonderful example of using that Holy Spirit to make decisions for the work. One decision that stands out to me recently might not seem like a huge one, but he changed the name of Philadelphia Youth Camp for our young people, for our teenagers, to Summer Educational Program. To have that word educational in it. It's about a life-changing, life-saving education powered by God's Holy Spirit. And we need to keep that in mind. In every aspect of this work, the Holy Spirit is evident, and it's what makes everything possible. So today we've been talking about By My Spirit. You got to hear my mother sing that song. And we need to understand exactly how all of this actually happens. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.